Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And this morning's conversation is with Mai Canales, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Treasury. Joining us in our conversation is Jay Tanzing, a PwC consult. Well, Mai, we ended the last segment talking about e-government. I was left with a couple more questions. Where are we, U.S. federal government, say, relative to the rest of the world in e-government?
Well, I think the U.S. is just starting when you think about e-government. What's happened in the past few years is agencies, as they respond to the need to put their services online, have created like Treasury Online and Agriculture Online and, you know, Justice Online. And so we have recreated government online with the existing building stovepipes. So now we have stovepipes online. So, yeah, it's fun. But so now what we need to do is take those stovepipes and make e-government business processes online. So I think in this country, that's an incredible challenge. I mean, if you look at a country like the UK that has really, really come a long way, or Australia or Spain is just starting, they just make the decisions to do these things, and their government is, you know, one country, which is sometimes the smaller than Texas. And so they can get their hands around it easier. They're organized differently than we are. For instance, all their healthcare services are in one place. They might be at the local and at the equivalent to our federal level, but they're under one ministry. So we have it where not only are we huge, but then our healthcare is in five different places. Our grants are in 10 different places. Our trade crosses 40 different entities, you know, so we have that issue as well.
And where do you think e-government is generally in its life cycle?
In this country, I'd say we're in the very, very early stages of planning and design, because I think we actually have to take a step backward in some cases and deal with the fact that we have all of these online services which don't talk to each other, maybe are not doing things in, when you look at the whole process, are not accounting for pieces and parts of that process. So I think we actually have to take a step backward, look at some of those things, start sharing some of these tools and advances that we've made, and then maybe start doing away with some of the things we have out there and replacing.
Mai, the Clinger-Cohen Act of 1996 changed the landscape of IT and government. Can you talk a little bit about how this act has been implemented and its impact on Treasury?
Sure. Well, the Clinger-Cohen Act, as you know, created CIOs, Chief Information Officers, for which I am forever grateful because I love my job. But I think some of the things that it made us look at are IT as investments. You know, IT used to be, oh, we're getting the big end-of-year money dump. How many PCs can we buy? You know, and there was no sense of what those PCs would support or standards or how we were going to fit them into our business processes. So IT's made, you know, now an investment. We have a capital investment review board at Treasury, as all the other agencies do. We have councils that function as board of directors, like the Treasury CIO Council and the Treasury CXO Council, which I mentioned earlier, that has the CFOs, the financial, the procurement, and the HR people working together to identify all the administrative issues. I think that Clinger-Cohen Act made us look at performance metrics. How do we know if we're successful? You know, trade is my favorite example because, yeah, we have all these great systems that are online, but guess what? The truck's still sitting for 4 hours in the border. Success ought to be getting that truck through the border as it drives up, everything cleared and secure.
The President's management agenda focuses on e-government technology and many of the issues we've already talked about. How does the President's management agenda impact Treasury or affect Treasury? How does it roll out?
Treasury is very involved in four initiatives specifically for the President's management agenda, at least the eGov portion, which is what I'm familiar with. We are directly managing the Easy Tax initiative, which has to do with online tax filing and reporting. We are directly managing the Unified and Simplified Wage and Tax Reporting, with Social Security as a very strong partner to deal with, you know, the businesses that have to do all those forms for wage and tax reporting. We are directly involved with Commerce as the Commerce is the managing partner. We're the strong partner in streamlining the trade process. And we're also the managing partner on the wireless initiative, which provides interoperability or the ability to communicate across local, state, and federal entities for public safety.
What does it mean to be the managing partner for an initiative?
Managing partner is another word for lead, but it's not just that you take the lead on an initiative, because we're creating what are called program management offices. Those program management offices are not just the managing partner, in other words, Treasury, creating this management group and making decisions. They're staffed by, say, for the wireless initiative, people from FEMA, people from Justice, people from Homeland Security. They are helping us make the decisions. They're helping us with the investments. It means that we're pooling our money if we're playing nice together, which I hope we will. So it just means that we are creating the entities, the tools, the support structure for these other people to join in and be very strong decision makers in the overall effort.
How long is that supposed to take?
The 23 initiatives that we have defined right now for e-government under the President's Management Agenda are 18 to 24-month initiatives, doable initiatives. But, you know, as we're working on those, we're going to be looking at the future and next steps. So, you know, maybe we'll do additional things with wireless. Maybe wireless will be done in 24 months and we'll move on and do case management. Who knows?
How does the Office of the CIO use performance-based management to promote effectiveness of agency operations? And how are the performance standards established and evaluated?
We have, for investments, performance standards that are related to the mission or critical business need of the investment. Like I mentioned, trade, the truck coming across the border would be a metric. Waiting lines at the border would be a metric. So our metrics are changing to be related to whatever business we're supporting. On contracts, performance-based contracts, we're making some progress there. We've defined incentive-based contracts, which are, you know, you come over, you help us do this, and we'll pay you out of the savings. For instance, we have one with several companies where we're looking at telecommunications. I'm going to pull numbers out of the top of my head, but say I spend $200 million a year on telecommunication services nationwide. Well, say a company can come in and say, you know what, you can do that more efficiently. You can do that for $100 million a year. I'll come in, I'll define the efficiencies. You only pay me if I save you money. Well, that is the easiest form of performance-based contracting there is. But on other contracts where we buy a solution or a service, we're taking away the metrics, which used to be, at least in the IT world, very IT-oriented, like the system must be up 99.9% of the time with a turnover within 5 minutes should anything go down, to the fact that, you know, agents out in the field in alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, ATF, have access to their information immediately. For instance, like wearable technology is a solution. They have access to case information on an investigation that they're doing immediately, online, all the time. They can plug stuff in so another agent across the country has the same information on a related case. That's a measure, you know. So those are the types of metrics we're looking at.
What are the challenges to implementing performance-based contracting or even performance-based management? It seems so logical and clear as you describe it.
The challenges are contracting challenges mostly. We need to redefine contracting in government. It used to be very specific, you know, where you would bring pieces and parts in and deliver them and set them up and hopefully they would work. But now we're not doing that anymore. I'm trying not to own any pieces and parts. But contracting has had the biggest hurdle to jump here. Trying to define a contract where you guys are my partner, I'm opening up my books to you. You guys know how much money I have, which is, God, forbidden in government worlds. Show the books, forget it. You know, that way they would know what you're spending. But, you know, if I'm buying a service from you, how can you do it appropriately if you don't know what my budget is and what I have and where I need to streamline? And so that's been the biggest hurdle is the contracting rules and regulations are not exactly created that way. And we're trying to find innovative contracting methods, and incentive-based contracting, like what I described, is one that has worked for us.
Accountability is also a big issue. How do you drive accountability into the IT investments that Treasury makes?
You know, it's interesting because you go up on the Hill and you testify and you see the CIO testifying about modernization for customs or IRS. And boy, that's about as accountable as you can get. But I think what's interesting is that the IT people are now testifying on the business processes and what you're doing for the business. And you're saying, these are the things that I'm going to improve. And this is the end state that you will see 2 years from now. And I'm going to deliver this every year. You will see these features. We no longer say it's going to take me 5 years and you'll get this gray box at the end of 5 years. We're going to say it's a five-year effort. You will see these improvements in year one, these improvements in year two, these improvements in year three. And we're measured on that. We have scorecards. At Treasury, every CIO employee has a scorecard that is directly related to the goals and strategies of Treasury for that year.
How has having such a scorecard affected performance and also even the culture?
Well, it's been interesting. At first, they hated it, of course, because like, oh, my God, you're measuring me. You want to know if I'm doing my job. You don't trust me. But it's interesting. It's created a sense of I'm doing this to improve financial stability around the world. You know, it directly, I mean, you see the link. Here's the goal, you know, stabilize the economic market around the world and then improve financial systems within Treasury. Create the following mechanisms, IT employee working on this, this, and this. It directly relates to that. I mean, it really gives them a sense of being there for the mission of the agency. So it's been a couple of years to get to that sense, but I think they now understand why they do the things they do, which made no sense in the past.
Well, that's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break with this segment. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our discussion with Mai Canales of the U.S. Department of Treasury. In the next segment, we'll ask her to pull out her crystal ball and tell us about the future of technology and government. This is the Business of Government Hour.